Welcome to The Ether. Today is Monday, May 16th, 2022. Today on The Ether, Building and Recovering from Loss, an open discussion hosted by SuperTerra. Let's take a listen.
So good morning and hello to everyone. This is the latest in our on-running Monday evening / Tuesday spaces, depending on where you are in the world. Each week we look to cover a different crypto topic. This week, after doing a special additional spaces yesterday, where we focused on challenge, opportunity, and building back for the various protocols and NFT projects in Terra, and we were joined by a really good supportive panel from a number of different chains. So really good open discussion. The format of these is as always an opportunity for people to step up from the floor, share your thoughts and experiences, and look how we can develop and build further. So I think obviously I'll look to kick things off. We had a space actually on this subject probably about 9 or 10 weeks ago, where we talked about, in my case, the Mt. Gox hack, and also the post 2017-18 bull market collapse with lots of failed ICOs and various other challenges for which I was somewhat wrecked in that era as well. So you could say this is the third time, or indeed if you count some of my dot-com boom experiences at the turn of 2000, or indeed some recessionary disasters in the mid-1990s. I've had quite a few experiences of being wiped out or severely position damaged within the market. And I think the secret is how you bounce back and manage those. And I think it's fair to say that perhaps one of my own lessons that I never quite learned is not to be overexposed to one particular area or opportunity. And whilst I always advise a broad-based portfolio, it is easy to become over invested in one sector, one area, one opportunity, which obviously if it all comes off is fantastic. If it doesn't, it can leave you heavily exposed. So that's the challenge. I'll hand over to Simon. We've got the first of our guests stepping up, because obviously this isn't just about recovering from sort of financial challenges and situations in the market. It's also about how you build back from a challenging position if you're a project or a protocol, or indeed you're looking to incubate something at this present point in time. So I'll initially sort of hand over to Simon to give your initial thoughts on this, and then we'll get the debate going.
Yeah, you might have to give me a couple minutes. My brain is still spooling up, but I will add some good juice for this. So, we have brought Stone Ducks up. So I think, could you just give me a couple minutes?
Yeah, that's absolutely fine.
For me, it's a similar situation. Like, I just hopped on here and still have like a workload to do and thousands of things on my mind, but I thought it can't hurt like just to pop in and to show some solidarity. And if anyone needs like any advice I can give or any good words, then I'm all here for it.
Excellent. Well, I think for me, I just want to say congratulations. You're one of the first projects to step forward post the challenging situation the market's faced in this last week or so. And obviously, you're already building back strongly. You've got a good solution for the community, for the Stone Ducks, and also what looks like already a very healthy pivot going forward. So congratulations on that, and I wish you well, because I think it's a great response to what's been a very challenging time.
Yeah, thanks. Yeah, so I mean, it all came as a shock to us, like, not gonna lie. When I woke up and the first DPEG event happened, I already was in shock. I caught myself down with looking at the chart and looking at May and December and how it had happened before. But we as a team already announced then in our alpha group, which is like for people holding 8 or more DAGs, that we will secure 50% of funds, and then we continue to secure even more funds as shit went to break down. So we were like pretty cautious, which saved pretty much the project and community funds, so we can just keep on going. And since staking platform and everything was already tested on Terra, we know it will work. And since the focus of the products meant for retail and for new consumers is on the products we will release, meaning music, comics, clothes, SDSC story, audiobooks, all that stuff is still planned to like be sold, and profits are meant to go to holders. So we were also lucky to like not really be dependent on Terra itself with what we have planned. Like, we love Terra because not like I think everyone 10 days ago thought Terra was meant to stay for years, and we also built on Terra with that mindset. So the project itself was luckily based that way that we also could do it on another chain, which now comes in handy since we can like make a reborn mint in June already, maybe even start of June. It's more like dependent on how fast the community wants us to move, since we are pretty much ready. So yeah, but not to only talk of Stone Ducks, like just talking personally now for a moment, like, and I don't know if I'm rambling, so please, if anyone wants to speak up, just do so. But just personally speaking, I lost like 90% or so, because I was pretty convinced I had like caught the knife well on Luna, and went pretty hard in on Bay Luna via Kuji when it wasn't completely broken down. And yeah, it fucked me up pretty good too. So it's not like I'm standing here and have like all of my personal funds safe and now I'm just talking shit. Like, I also lost like pretty much everything by being hard in on Terra. Not full maxi on stands, since like that's stupid. I know that's stupid since the first Ether Killer stories, but yeah. Also hit hard, of course, in personal funds.
Yeah, and I think I speak for many in that I had what I thought was a very sensible Luna staking position, which obviously now is worth buttons, and didn't take the high risk route. I think I've talked previously on Spaces about that. It's not for everyone. It's certainly not for me. But we all ended up getting somewhat burnt. I think what I've got out of this dumpster fire is obviously a lot of learning and life experiences, but also, you know, a lot of really good people in this community and far beyond. And also importantly, at least there's some nominal pleasure in that I do have, you know, quite a lot of NFTs as well, some of which I think already True. Are showing in. Yeah, and I think it's important. It's, you know, lots of communities that I'm in. I think some of those will sadly perhaps fade out, but I think many of them will actually be reborn in other areas with you know, the opportunities. And I think you guys are absolutely, I think I'm right in saying, the very first project to announce your plans a couple of days ago. So hats off for that speed of movement to pivot. And I think to your point there, you pivoted at the point where you are personally in a painful position as well. And I think that's a really important point you made there, that actually, and we're all in this position. I've talked to many people who are, yeah, what do we do next? Well, we build. And you almost have to put your own personal sort of, you know, situation to one side and then go, right, okay, we go again. And I realize as well, not everyone's in that position just yet. I think that's...
It's not easy. It's not easy to let go. Like, especially if you are not, if anyone's listening and that's like your first time in crypto losing really big, it's not easy to let go. It really isn't. And it's not easy to be objective now, since like emotions and the hope of a speedy recovery for the bags that were worth so much just like a few days ago. I know it hurts, but not to be too negative, but like it's like $50 billion are not just kind of gonna come back. It's just not gonna happen. Like, not saying that Luna V2 isn't something I'm looking forward. I do. And since the future is multi-chain, I do hope that Dux will return to Luna. Like, and I do hope that it will happen faster than I anticipate now. But like, cause the future is multi-chain, and we all know that it's basically just betting on the right horse to start off with for the next year or so now, and then we will all be likely multi-chain.
You know, I just want to say, Stone, I respect you for continuing with the project. I really sympathize with the whole entire Terra Luna community. It's really painful watching what you're all going through. I mean, we've seen people rug for nothing, you know, and you guys are continuing moving to another chain, etc. I'm in the Algorand community, and we reached out to several Terra Luna projects, including Poppin' Puffins. And, you know, we're trying to make that transition as seamless as possible. Been speaking to a lot of people on that subject the last 2 days. And yeah, honestly, kudos to you and your team for sticking through it and keeping the project. And really, guys, like I know people talk about NFTs as JPEGs, but the community is something that you can see when everything goes to zero. If you have a community still, that says something. That's a really interesting lesson I think we should all take away from this.
I was like, not going to say I was shocked, because I was like positively surprised, but I thought like the negative feedback from the community and the panic would be way higher. But our community was like super chill through like the whole breakdown, because we kept them informed, like especially in the
because they were stoned. Like,
yeah.
It's because
they possibly were stoned. Possibly. I know. I don't know. But I have the feeling like the stoner communities and people are officially like being stoners in the Terra space are way more chill with the situation and like didn't show any ugly faces. And not to say many people did, but we saw some ugly faces in the last 4 days, like, to be sure. So I was pretty baffled and humbled like by the reaction of the community, and it kept us on pushing even harder, because we had like our funds still intact. We also did everything we could in the little time to bring joy to our community. So we purchased like 2 base lands to hold for at least like 12 months, and then to give all profits to the community, etc., just to like keep the spirits up a bit and to show that we really mean business and we are not here to like do a short, hey, yeah, here's your hype project, but we want to build a lifestyle brand, like a real lifestyle brand with like bunch of clothing lines, bunch of comics, like bunch of albums of music, which are partly already done, and I'm talking multiple. So it's hard to deliver the mindset of just keep on going right now to everyone. But just factual speaking, no matter if you decide to build in Luna Terra space or if you decide to migrate to another chain for now, the best thing you can do now as a project, and just in my opinion, like there are thousands of opinions and all of them are valid, just in my opinion, is to keep on building like a savage right now. Like no breaks, no takeoffs, no, maybe not. But you have to deliver now and really, really show the community and the whole crypto space that Terra builders are something to be respected.
Yeah. So I was kind of finally, my brain's kind of in a space to add some stuff. So I thought I'd add some things, and I thought I'd take a different perspective here and take a more conceptual position and take like a little bit more of a mindset position, because you know, I'm someone who's been in this position where I've been wiped out before. You know, I've been in crypto since 2016, earlier than that, but that's sort of, you know, active in crypto since 2016. So I've been through, you know, a lot of these cycles, but I've also been kind of in businesses, and I've had businesses fail and this kind of thing. So I can relate from a personal level to this as well, not just on a project level. And I also have a lot of entrepreneur friends who, and you know, like some of their mindset is that, you know, losing their first, your first seven figures is the rite of passage, right? Many of them have been, you know, lost it all many, many times, you know, whether it's, you know, businesses failing or, you know, business partner kind of committing some fraud or whatever it is. But many of them have, you know, made it and lost it many, many times, and they're able to do it over and over. I can also speak on the project side now, because obviously, you know, I'm involved in multiple projects in the Terra space, in the Terra community. And, you know, obviously I've seen the transition to, getting mostly wiped out, and then, you know, where do we go from here? So, from a personal standpoint, I think it's really hard, especially when it just happens, and, you know, like the shock that comes with the moment of, you know, realizing that, you know, you've wiped out a lot of money and you've wiped out a lot of this sort of stuff. But, you know, things after a couple of weeks, that kind of goes away a little bit, and you realize that it's not actually the amount or the money that you made. For the most part, a lot of the times it's the skills and the mindset you built in the process, because that's actually what's truly valuable, and that's what allows you to rebuild and to build it up again. So if you carry and you focus on the skills and the mindset that you are given, then your chances of then coming back and actually making a comeback in whatever shape or form it is a lot higher. And the way I see it is two things, right? Firstly, you know, being relentless, as Stoned Otto said. I'm the kind of person that if you're going to hit me, you're going to have to kill me, because I'm going to come back a lot harder.
And
secondly, man, like, you know, I've kind of built this from this mindset, and I know not everyone's in this position, and this is where, you know, this takes a little bit of time to build up, especially when you've taken a confidence hit, right? I'm the kind of person that you could drop me in Iceland and I would find a way to make it back. I would become successful in Iceland, and I would make it all over there, because it's actually myself and the mindset that I've cultivated. And I know that not everyone's in that position, but neither was I, you know, years ago I wasn't. And I think, you know, it's that shows the importance of no matter what you do in crypto, it's so important to keep working on your mindset. And no matter how much wealth you build in crypto, it's still important to keep cultivating that mindset and trying to build those skills and trying to build that network and trying to build this, this resilience around money, to realize that, like, at the end of the day, like, what you think is such an important thing isn't as important as you think. And in the scheme of things, you're able to remake it, whether it's in crypto or outside of crypto. And that, now that's, you know, I know sometimes it's a tough one, but that's sort of my take on that. And it's similar from a project perspective. A project perspective is a little bit harder, I think, because, you know, if your treasury has been wiped out, there is a need for capital to be able to rebuild. So I think the best thing that you can do from a project side is really the same thing, but narrow down on contacts and networks. There's a lot of platforms out there that are offering grants. There's a lot of platforms out there that are wanting to house Terra devs and Terra projects that are willing to support. So I think the best thing to do is to weigh up, you know, the best choices for what they are for you, whether that's staying in Terra or going to something in the cosmos, or going somewhere that's going to support you and your community and your people around, and looking to rebuild, and looking at the advantages that there's a lot of influencers now. There's a lot of people that have been hit really hard as well, and they're looking to help rebuild. They're maybe not doing so well financially, and, you know, they're likely willing to get involved and help out where they can. So there's a lot of advantage to that as well.
I'm curious about that, Stoned, particularly for your project. I don't know what the floor was in dollar terms for Stone Ducks, etc. But, like, just for, like, to put it in perspective, if it's a 3K mint, to mint the whole entire collection, fees A to Z, it would be 300 algo, which is $150 currently. Just for, like, perspective, like, 3K mint is $150. So, I mean, you're moving to Ethereum, so I guess if it's a free mint, they're still gonna have to pay the gas to accept the NFT.
Yeah,
so,
it's no problem, yeah. Really, because of, like, the ESC 721A contracts. It's like, maybe for, if you want to mint like 30, 40 ducks, you will pay like maybe $20 or $30 if you wait, since we will have like waiting time of 2 days for OG. So you have like 2 days to schedule your mint day. So the gas fee volatility will also be minimized. So it will be maybe like $20 even, only for how much ducks you ever want to mint. And since we are not like a flipper project at all, but a long-term holding project, I think it doesn't matter at all that we have slightly higher fees than Luna in this case, because you will be able to you will be able to stake it that way that you can still trade it and you will still receive rewards, so there will be also no fees or no negative on that. And since Ethereum is right now the only NFT chain with a proven track record and the only NFT chain proven to have a viable NFT market, even in a bear market, I think for me personally, it's the only point I want our community to start at right now, because the last thing we need is like any kind of insecurity, any kind of experiments or worries that the chain won't work. And that's also the reason why we decided against Solana, because Solana is great for DeFi. I love it for DeFi, really do. But NFTs are not DeFi. NFTs are something else entirely. NFTs are exclusive memberships or art collections with use cases and possibilities beyond the simple way of investing crypto offers. Mm-hmm. So I don't think that you should flip or use any kind of brutal transaction amounts for NFT collections that are intended to give passive income to their community. But apart from that, of course, the new gas contracts, like the improved ones, are pretty rad. Like you only have to pay fees once for like minting however much you want. And then like ETH 2.0 will also improve. I don't have like the exact assumptions on gas fees right now, but it will also improve it. And layer 2 fees are at like 10 cents right now. So yeah.
Well, I think as well, you made a really good point there. It's not just about the image. It's almost, you know, for the conversations that we've had, and we had a really good spaces. It was only 2 or 3 weeks ago. It feels a lot longer with everything else that's happened.
But it's like, yes.
it does, doesn't it? But no, it's really good. I think I like from the off, you've got a very interesting art style. You've got a lifestyle brand that you're building. And I think, as I say, once again, you know, you've shown very quickly the ability to be very resilient and pivot. And I actually also like the fact that you're looking at the multi-chain future, which is something very much that I've talked about across these spaces for many months now. I didn't quite envisage that it would happen so soon, but I think
we are forced to move a little sooner on that, but it will also push innovation, I think.
Absolutely. Yes, sometimes, and I think I said this on last night's spaces, out of the ashes of a challenging situation, the innovative qualities rise to the fore. And we got quite philosophical last night's spaces. Quite a few people did some very nice quotes and so on. But I think, yeah, the point is, it's about moving on, improving, and to Simon's point, now this is really important for anyone listening or listening back later. We realise not everyone is in the same space. I mean, for me, obviously what happened was awful. My immediate thought was community, and I was immediately checking on friends and you know, the good folks I've got to know in this space, and actually immediately thinking, what can I do to help others? And we're all wired differently, and that was my way of kind of immediately, you know, if, to be honest, I'm the sort of person, if I got off the horse, I'd be off the horse for quite a while. So I've got to stay on that horse, you know, hanging on to the bridle. And the analogy could continue, but I've never been on a horse in my life, by the way, just for context.
Yeah, I think I would stop working like 16, 17 hours a day now, I would just be knocked out for like a week or something. Mm-hmm. I just have to keep on the hype right now.
Absolutely. Now, I think Simon and I have had these conversations as well. I think there's definitely something in that for sure. And I think with that in mind, yeah, we're pushing hard to continue building our new project, and something we've been working on for some time. And I think it's good to have those positive focuses. And there's lots of conversations I'm having with other projects as well, and great opportunities out there in the broader space. And it's just a case of building and moving forwards. And who knows, you know, that there is going to be some sort of Terra reboot, that there's lots of noises. I think it'll take some considerable time to get it back to a place perhaps where it was, but it'd be interesting to see how that develops. And obviously for many of us on this call and beyond, yeah, we want to see something emerge from the ashes there, something that's sustainable and actually really drives the innovation forward. But I think multi-chain is the future, and that's what we're all looking towards.
I think also it would be beautiful to see, because the community is there and the Terra people do trust each other.
Mm-hmm.
It would be beautiful to see like this commitment and this community to transcend onto different chains. Like, why should we split up just because we are on different chains? It doesn't make any sense if the future is multi-chain anyway. The projects know each other. The people know each other. Like, we should work together. We should help each other. And I also expanded myself to numerous other NFT projects and like said, hey, if you need like any help, or if you plan to go to ETH2, like, we can maybe get you a contact to a dev. We can maybe get you a contact to some collabs or anything. So if any other builders are right now listening, like, I am, and the rest of SDLC is always open to discuss any possibilities to help the Terra space, especially like right now it's needed.
Absolutely. And on that note, you know, I've had a lot of conversations with people, and I've done a bit of matchmaking where someone's been looking for an opportunity or a project's needed a bit of help, and it's really powerful that we have that link. And I think again, an analogy I used on yesterday's spaces was, it's kind of like end of school days. We're all going off in different directions, but yeah, there will still be some sort of link, some sort of bond. There'll always be the odd person you never see again, sort of slightly strange, but you know, there'll always be the bond. The analogy works just so far. There's something I'm glad I've never seen again since I left school, but that's a story for a therapy session and not a spaces, but it made me stronger.
It's pretty similar right now, so like, go for it.
No, there are just some very unpleasant people I was at school with, but I look back now.
I was at like 8 different schools or something, because I moved so much when I was very young. And like, always being the new one in class, especially when you come to a big town or when you come to a very isolated village, it's special.
It certainly is. And I think some of the folks that kind of set you on your path, character building, I think is the phrase. It's not always enjoyable at the time, but you sort of look back and realize it. Everything that happens to you is some of your life experiences forms who you are. There you go. Okay. Getting philosophical again. I'm conscious we did have a speaker that we've had on before, but they've dropped off. Digital Chill. I love the name. Hopefully they'll come back. So apologies if you're back on the space and you've dropped out. So I know sometimes it does drop people off speaker without anyone doing anything. Please do press request again. But hand it back to the rest of the panel, and obviously anyone else who wishes to speak, as always, if you want to talk about school days, therapy, anything about your recent portfolio losses, or anything else that you know you want to kind of share in a positive way of
the
learning.
Alarm sirens you hear every time you hear Luna.
You know, actually, that's a good point about the history of your time in crypto. How many cycles have you been through Super Terra? Like 2 or 3 at least, I would say.
Probably about 5.
Yeah.
I know. I mean, I've not been hit as hard as I was this time, because I had relatively small amounts in previous cycles. And
same.
Yeah, so this is the biggest hit, if you like. But yeah, I've been through a number, and I found it fascinating, the earlier ones. Perhaps, you know, fascinating is not quite the word for this one, but I think there's lots of positives to take out. Let me just share one last thought, and then I'm really keen to sort of, because I don't want to hog it. For me, I think the big difference this time is, before I was trading, staking, exploring, and it was all the kind of the ICO activities. And prior to that, we had the exchange. I guess first couple of cycles, I kept things on exchanges, and you always know that it's not your keys, it's not your crypto. Actually, what I've found this time that I've really enjoyed is I've immersed myself in an ecosystem. And for better or for worse, that's given me a much more enriching experience. I've brought a lot of my, for want of better expression, in real life business experience to the space, and actually made some really good friendships. I mean, think about the regular spaces. I mean, Simon and I only really got talking probably it's certainly back end of last year, but we've developed a really good regular spaces debate style. Would I have done that if I was just trading on the markets? No. Yeah, it's that sort of thing. And also, you know, writing. You know, I'm a coder by background, and I found myself writing. I do write for local journals, shall we say, but found that there was a real audience that was interested in what I had to write and what I had to say. And it's kind of, so I've gone from a bloke that kind of just, you know, did my own thing in isolation to have been very much the center of a community. And it's all through a natural progression, really, not through any kind of force mechanism. And that's been really enjoyable as well. So, you know, that massively, in many ways, it sounds strange saying this now just after being wiped out, but I think that positive experience for me outweighs any of the negatives. And I think for the very reasons Simon outlined at the start, we're resilient, we're building back, we're getting on, we're doing more. And these are probably things that I wouldn't necessarily have done on a previous cycle. So sorry, a bit of a long ramble there.
No, but it makes sense. But I think the key difference here, I think this is like the pivot. Exponential growth for humans is very hard to comprehend. And I mean, how many of the previous cycle top 25 survived, and how many will be here for the next one, which will rise up? And I think the whole crypto space as a whole, it's moving from speculative assets, like things that we're not sure about, we're trying to guessing, picking the horse, as you said, to real world use cases. And I think you have to ask yourself the question, how will the next billion people move on chain? And I think that people have not, that are in the crypto space currently, have not objectively looked at all of the projects and thought, what are these long-term prospects? Like you said, Solana, you could turn off like a light switch, uptime issues. ETH 2.0, will it handle the traffic? I don't think it will. So yes, opportunity cost, I agree for you. If you want to take your community move to ETH, I understand your decision short-term. But something like Algorand, particularly that I'm in the ecosystem, it never forks, can scale 4.5 second transaction, like transaction
not to
time.
Be, not to be too harsh about that, but yeah. Algo has no proven record of like working through multiple beer cycles. So not to say the tech won't work. Like
agreed.
I have respect for what Algo is trying to do, but like we know ETH will work, and we know ETH will going to be the first one to be multi-chain compatible, because whoever figures out first the easy way to go multi-chain, the first chain that's going to be adopted is ETH. So it's pretty easy from that standpoint. And concerning our collection especially, and concerning NFTs more than cryptocurrencies, since there is low supply, there's also a way lower need for transactions, ergo fees. And especially for projects that are meant to be just held and you receive rewards for it, it's pretty much like a no-brainer to go ETH for now. Did I kill the conversation?
As I said, it's opportunity cost. I agree. If you don't need transactions, I mean, that's fine. If you want to add some sort of utility and really have on-chain activity, I mean, that makes sense.
Yeah. I mean, I totally agreed for like every project like plans to have like a very active trading utility, or to have like something where you have to split the NFTs, or for fracturing or anything like that, of course. But I think like the future is meant to be multi-chain, like we all said multiple times. So there will be a use case for many chains, I think. I think it will be very dependent on the projects more so than on the chain. And in the end, the retail won't think about what chain they are using. They will like enjoy having a Stone Dux comic in their bookshelf, not even knowing that profits of these comics are going to the NFT holders. So
I would say that Cosmos is close to there. Like they're working more towards and I think you'll see this in the rest of crypto. It will look differently, but the way it's set up will be, and I'm going to pass the digital chill very soon because they've had his hand up for a while, but moving towards like interchain contracts, interchain wallets, where you can perform, you know, smart contracts can be called on any chain. So you could be, you know, an Osmosis and you'd be using, you know, Juno contracts or, you know, Terra contracts, right? And vice versa. So you'd be able to just be, you likely be able to build a dApp that's built on four different chains that no one actually knows what chain you're using. And they actually, it's all happening in the background. And that if you, you know, have a game that uses a lot of transactions, you better go set up your own chain so that you're not clogging the, you know, you're not clogging the network and all this sort of stuff, but you'll still kind of be on your own chain, but you're not, you're part of the collective of chain. So that will be kind of the future of crypto will be this kind of, I think, or chains will have very specific niche uses and they'll narrow down
for sure.
those niche uses. That's potentially, but I do want to pass it to Digital Chill because he's chilling and having his hand up for a while. So,
I mean, oh, hey, what's going on, everyone? I hope everyone is having a good day. I appreciate you, Super Terra, for bringing me back up here. I know this is probably not the best introduction to Terra when you and Simon actually like helped me and gave me information to roam the Terra ecosystem, and this kind of happened. So I appreciate Stoned really giving me an understanding from the builder's perspective on the chain. And it's kind of crazy that I can confirm that I rarely have seen anyone who's building on the ecosystem said anything bad about it. They were just, it wasn't even being, mad. It was more a sign of disappointment, that, a lot of people, like, it was a brand that was being built when I was doing my research that, people really enjoyed. And what Simon said the other day, like, I think majority of these blockchains are still going to exist just because of the simple fact that Coke and Pepsi is basically the same thing, but people just like their preference. Like, people love to be different. You know what I mean? Even though I like Coke better, I don't even drink soda like that. But I think the fact that every chain is going to have its slight difference and slight branding is just, everything is going to be the same. But until it becomes very, I wouldn't say transparent, but being able to be multi-chain without, users worrying about bridging and all that kind of stuff, which is probably going to be in the next 3 to 5 years, personally, I think, because this is my first time ever feeling the drop in the market. I actually didn't get sad until I learned it was about the ecosystem. And I was like, what happened to Super Terra and everyone? I was like, oh, I didn't even get in. And like, everyone is just, going through this very bad time. But I saw it as an opportunity of amazing sales. I got into more ETH and Solana projects. I'm kind of don't know how I feel about Terra, not the projects on Terra. I think the project on Terra, but it was the lead who made the decision, for the UST, and their reasoning was to buy. Like, my whole thing is that I know UST was something that's supposed to be a stable coin, right? That, and then they had Terra, which also bought, they used UST as a stable coin, and then they used Bitcoin as leverage to be able to, sell off to be able to keep it stable, which I found very weird, where you use something that's very unstable already, and people don't really trust it, and you back it by something even more unstable. So it causes like trickling effect that destroyed everybody in the market and made like people super depressed.
It should have,
and I feel
it should have maybe worried us that BTC reserves were made at all. Like maybe that should have been reason to look further into the algo and to calculate ahead what kind of capital outflows and inflows would be needed to destabilize potentially the pack like it happened. But you're putting us on a different spot, less bitters. Like right now, I don't want to like shit on Terra or anything. It's just like fucking bad what happened, bro. It's really, really bad. And even more bad so, since like Terra ecosystem is full of such like full conviction on hustle kind of people. Like that's like the worst part, is that so many cool people are in this ecosystem and now it's fucked. Like that's like the worst. If it would have been like something like Binance, where 99% of all projects are shitty anyway, then okay. But yeah, this way it's just sad. Like I'm laughing now because I'm used to this kind of craziness, because like when you were to crypto from like 2017 or 2016, like nothing had a use case, nothing. It was just pure casino, and it was normal to maybe lose 99% in a day if you had some shitcoin. But what was not normal and what never happened before was like the valuation of like, I think 50 billion was it at max with Terra ecosystem. just vanished in like 2 days. I never have seen anything like that before.
I think it's fair to say it's probably the biggest event in crypto's history to date. I'm sure we'll still be talking about this in 20 to 30 years' time. And hopefully there'll be lots of lessons learned. Yeah, there's lots of lessons learned. But thank you, Digital Chill. I'm glad that you didn't get burnt in the process. And I actually appreciate your kind words about the community. I know we've enjoyed your company on previous spaces as well.
Yeah, it's just been me. Since I've been trying to learn as much ecosystems as I can, because for me, you know, everybody's here to like flip projects and all that stuff. I'm looking for the next generation of opportunities that I, you know, never was able to get in the Web2 realm. Like, you know, I can invest into, you know, anime and decentralized projects. I can invest into the gaming projects I care about, you know, DeFi, metaverse. What I mean, even though I don't really like the metaverse because, you know, I'm a gamer, you know, and gamers don't really like the word at all because we've been living in the virtual realm for a long time. So it's just being able to be a part of this, like, new age of just financial like literacy and independence, and that's all I'm passionate about. Like, I don't really care. Like, I'm gonna tell you, even if I was a multimillionaire and I hit something really great, I still want my Mustang and I just want to chill. Like, I don't want reputation or, you know, followers or influence. I just want to be able to meet great people and be a part of great things. That's all I look for, to be honest.
And I think in many ways we're very similar in that regard. That's what really attracts me, the innovation and the development. And I think the other trappings of an ecosystem that follow it. And I think, you know, if it wasn't for the obviously cataclysmic events of the last sort of 7 or 8 days, yeah, we'd all be still talking very positively about the future of Terra. And that's all about the innovation, which is great. I'm going to have to get you along to a future spaces, though, Digital Chill, when we talk about gaming and the opportunity to kind of bridge over with NFT projects, because that's something that's really starting to grow now. Perhaps it'll take a little bit more time for some of the projects in Terra that are working on a genuine immersive experience. There are quite a number of projects that were quote metaverse ready. Be really interested to see how they port, pivot, and move forwards over the coming months and years. So I shall give you fair warning. It'd be great to get you on one of those spaces. Probably not going to be for a few weeks now. I think there's a lot of wounds to be healed and projects to pick up. Yeah, the urgency of making sure that they can continue to build and develop. But there are some great ideas that I'm very aware of that I hope will see the light of day from a number of major projects within Terra. So we'll see where they go next. So thank you. No, thank you for all of that. Sort of handing it back to the broader panel. There was a question came through. I think someone's listening in but isn't able to speak. So I'll just give a quick shout out to Captain Jida, who asked me to ask some questions around moves to the Cosmos chain. And in fairness, as he was diving, he said, oh, Simon's just started to speak about this. But I think the point that they wanted to make was there's obviously, because Luna was built on the Cosmos SDK, there's obviously a lot of potential portability and opportunity there for some of the great dApps that have been developed on Terra to kind of live in that space. I don't know if, Simon, you want to sort of touch upon that at all, if it's something you want to expand. But that was a kind of question from the floor from someone who can't get to a mic.
Yeah, sure. We've talked to, and I know I've personally talked to most of the Cosmos projects. Them, like other chains, are looking to obviously onboard Terra devs and take Terra devs on board, as everyone is from other chains as well, because there's a lot of talent that you don't want to waste. The differentiating factor with Cosmos, which is quite interesting from a conceptual position, and then I'll get into more of the technicals, is that a lot of them aren't attached to their particular Cosmos chain. Most of them are Cosmos maxis overall, rather than a particular chain. So many of them have actually talked about how they're willing to harbor new dApps and new builders, but they're still okay with the fact that some of these guys may leave in a couple months and build their own chains on Cosmos. So their whole focus is actually on keeping people in the Cosmos ecosystem more and adding value to the overall set of different chains rather than just a specific chain. So I know that Cosmos and Osmosis have talked about you know, almost acting like an incubator where they're providing funds and help and stuff to developers, but they know that these developers may go in a couple months and go spin up their own chain in the Cosmos. So that's positive from a conceptual position of that. Secondly, from a technical perspective, what's beautiful about it is, you know, things like Cosmosm, you know, still built on the same structure, built on Cosmosm as well. So it's a lot easier to port the tech and the contracts over to Cosmos. So, for example, Juno, which has been one of the kind of things that we've been looking at, it's a lot easier to just, you know, kind of use our code and then move it over to Juno with some tweaks. And it makes, you know, getting off the ground a lot quicker. Some of the downsides, though, and I've talked to several people about this within the space, is potentially some of the infrastructure isn't necessarily the same level as some of the Terra infrastructure, especially around dApps. Terra's put a lot of time and energy into building this dApp ecosystem infrastructure behind the scenes that maybe isn't seen, which may need to be rebuilt on some of these other chains. But that is all part of the process, and I don't see why we can't be across multiple chains even. I mean, this is something that people haven't considered, but in reality, we can be split across three different chains in Cosmos and have different protocols on different pieces of Cosmos, because when you know, you can interact with smart contracts between different IBC chains, then suddenly you don't need to be in one place. You can be in multiple. You can have your own L1, or you can have a piece on Juno, you can have a piece on Osmosis. And that's possible with this stuff. So I'm very excited. The community is very excited to have Terra projects. I think, you know, a lot of them are still going to have roots back in Terra, which is going to upgrade to the new Cosmos as well, which means that it will be a lot more integrated into Cosmos than it once was. And that's, yeah, so that's my piece on Cosmos. If you've got any further questions, feel free. But
was Terra launched, was it launched in 2018? Can you correct me if I'm wrong? Was it 2018 or
I believe
before
so.
That?
Yeah.
Okay. So I just wanted to comment on Stone's response earlier. He was saying that, you know, the track record, etc. Algo was launched in 2019 mainnet. So I don't know if you know the history about zero knowledge proofs or anything like that. There's this guy, his name is Silvy McCauley. Without him, no crypto would exist. He's in the Ethereum white paper. He's in the Bitcoin white paper. He also happened to create Algorand and the FIFA World Cup, you know, those. Yeah, it was an interesting point you made about, you know, 2018 versus 2019 and the maturity of a chain. It's only a year gap between the two.
Yeah. I mean, I also implied like the fall of 2017, 2018, and like generally reliability long term. But I'll be honest, like I can't speak on facts here. I just can look at charts and at time scales, because I haven't made a deep dive into Algo, and I just, what I heard, I liked. But just for the team and for SDLC, not speaking necessarily for everyone,
for sure,
it was just the best choice to go ETH right now, especially like with multi-chain in mind and with ESC20 new gas contracts in mind.
Yeah, there's something called state proofs also. We'll do like this kind of it'll see the state on each chain, and it'll be able to like use Algo as an L2 like for Ethereum and everything else, and kind of use the technology. So yeah, obviously everybody has to do their research, but for sure, I totally understand.
Yeah, nice. You could definitely like hit me up later and maybe send a link, and like I'm totally open to see like how multi-chain future can be like established.
For sure.
Yeah, and I see what you're actually saying, Stone and Jeff, which is kind of weird. I just recently played in a tournament for Evo on the Solana, and I actually met someone who's talking about Algorand as well. And I did my thorough research, and I realized that Algorand has been doing relatively well, especially with their heavy-end projects. It's just the sheer fact that what they have touched and what they're going to be like doing, especially with the L2, what are you saying with the gas fees and dealing with really high-end like clientele. So they're not, I mean, they're also going to be using like smaller persons as well, but they're like dealing with governments and all kind of stuff. And doesn't Algorand also have a DAO maker? If you could correct me, Jeff, you know, seems like you're the specialist in Algorand.
Yeah, so like right now, there was an AVM upgrade about a month and a half ago where it's going to allow like stronger DAO tooling to be used on mainnet. But that's all happening. I would say this next quarter, you're going to see a lot. I mean, Algorand is probably going to be the place for DAOs in the future because of the capacity of, the, you know, it has a layer one and it's smooth transaction fees. And again, it's never been down since May that launch. It's consistently creating blocks every 4.5 seconds. But the main thing is like this. I think that the scale for a billion people, like I said earlier, that's going to be like the normal people, like us crypto people, we're in a bubble within a bubble within a bubble. It's very small. And I think that's hard for us to like understand that like we're going to onboard a lot of people. And for real estate, literally on-chain real estate, that's what Algorand's going after. Derivatives market, like tokenized government. Real estate, tokenized stocks, that's all coming already on Algorand on-chain right now.
And that's really good. But my biggest thing right now, I mean, Algorand is great, right? But one question that I need to ask from the Terra lunatics. No, don't say it as any negative like connotation. Everybody who loves their chain is, I consider as a lunatic for their chain. But what is the next step for Luna? Is there any way that they can make it back from this? Because hasn't, you know, been terrible situations with previous blockchains that came back?
Have been examples of chains that have rebooted, absolutely. I think the sheer amount of capital that's basically exited in the last 7 days means that any form of reboot, there's a number of factors at play. The size of it is not going to be the same. The trust has gone, at least for now. Certainly major institutions, we're actually lining up to get involved. There's a lot of VC backing and everything else. That's going to take time to recover. The reboot plans, I've seen a number of plans in the last few days put to the community from Doe and others. There's a redress plan that's been looked at. There's lots of different ones. I'm sure in some form, with the infrastructure in place, something could be salvaged. But I think it's going to take quite a mind shift for that to happen. Because what is going to happen now, for better or for ill, Luna will always be synonymous with the most catastrophic chain failure
for years to come.
Yeah. So you're really dealing with that heavy negative baggage. I know Doe's suggestion was to rebrand the original Luna, classic Luna, sort of put it to bed, relaunch it, calling it Luna. I'd probably give it another name. But I mean, I'm personally, and I think this is just my mindset. I'm looking at multi-chain. I have looked multi-chain all the time. Where does Luna fit into that? And I think something important that Stoned Otto said at the start is, yes, at some point in the future they'd love to come back and, you know, be on Luna again, Terra on again, as part of multi-chain. I think that's something that, you know, we'd all like to see it re-emerge from the ashes. But in the interim, I think there's a lot of pivoting needs to happen and a lot of changes for confidence to be rebuilt in the ecosystem as was. But I think there's a will there. There's an absolute
I'm
will
skeptical
there.
Skeptical for now. I'll say I'm skeptical for now, though. I've been reached out to by Terra people, you know, talking about Terra TFL guys and talking about rebuilding the chain and everything, and people excited and talking about builders. The one thing that I see that people have talked about but maybe don't focus on is there's going to be a lot of overhanging debt. Right. If you look at it, like a big chunk of it is compensation for old for users, for whales, for TFL, for you know, devs, for all this sort of stuff, which is great and important. But the way that I see it is that, like, this could end up in a situation where, you know, some of these projects end up putting more time and hurt more than they were before, because if there's no confidence in the future for a while at least, then it's going to be exit liquidity, and it's going to be like, you know, and they're like saying, you know, developers are going to get 1% in 4 years, you know, and 4% vest over time. But I'm like, where's that money coming from? Like, if you're getting a percent, if developers are all getting a percent of tokens, and they need those tokens to actually pay salaries and recoup, then where is that liquidity coming from? Where's that money coming from? Because they're just going to dump, and so will the people that the VCs that are going to move their money elsewhere. Like, so. And starting a chain at like a large valuation as well, if they're going to restart the chain at $2 billion valuation, it doesn't have the same kind of pool. It's going to be, you know, it's not necessarily going to be a $30 billion chain straight away. So where's that liquidity coming from, and who's actually going to get hurt by this?
I mean, where's the con?
In an ideal world, the smaller wallets would be compensated first and the whales would get it later, but I don't, you know, that never happens, so it's unfortunate.
Yeah, it
would be especially. Oh,
please go, bro.
Oh, sorry. It was just especially in the situation where you just said, like, who is actually going to be able to bring the liquidity? I know there's many times that I've actually seen a lot of projects that went down and a lot of people have bailed them out, but that's just too much money to bail out. So it puts Terra, like you said, it's going to put Terra probably like 8 years behind or like 5 years. It's going to be a very long time. I think probably it's the best thing to do.
It could be faster than that, I think. Like crypto is moving so fast.
It is pretty fast. You're not right.
Considering we get like a new wave of investors that don't even know what happened to Luna, which like happens to other already like chains that already had scandals all the time. They get pumped again from people that don't know about the scandals anymore. So I think we could see a comeback sooner than like 5 or 8 years, definitely. But in crypto, 5 or 8 years.
That's a very long, that's a millennium.
That's forever. That's like crypto.
I don't know. I just didn't want to see it like fall, especially, you know, y'all guide me into the ecosystem. And I really wanted to like come back because the passion that I've seen, like the share fact that Stone, let me tell you, and this is the where I see the authentic aspect of the community, right? If I would see this situation happen in any other blockchain, we have mentioned the two big ones, Solana, ETH, everyone will literally just call the whole blockchain a rug. Everyone would be mad and like, it would just go to like crap. This is the first time I've ever heard like a blockchain make really bad decision. And everyone was like, damn, why did y'all do that? I really wish I thought about that.
I think I said like, I said before, but like, it's the saddest thing that like, it's Terra because like the builders and the community here are so cool and have so much conviction and like also brains, like amazing ideas. So that's like the saddest thing, really. Yeah, I agree.
But to also add to that,
like the hope,
and also to add to that, Terra also doesn't have big influences, so that makes it even more legitimate as a blockchain. Because a lot of these other blockchains are so flooded with influences, you just don't even know what's actually legitimate and who is passionate. You know, I don't know. Influences just always warp things for me. But if you come and bring good vibes and like actually bring people to a particular like area, right? You know, because the first thing people say, do your own research, right? But you're still giving the same product out there. Just be responsible for your actions. You know, that's take ownership. So that's why I feel as if the ones, like, for example, like Terra, I haven't gone into Cosmos yet, Wax Blockchain, all of these sleeping monsters of just passionate people with no type of, you know, YouTubers. I don't think I've ever heard, I've probably seen two YouTubers out of like the hundreds ever talk about Luna / Terra. And it wasn't even much. So it's just pure passion here. Billing with no type of like super huge venture capitalists and, you know, bringing money into the ecosystem. So, you know, I have to give you, you know, guys are really like, y'all are really high up in my books just for the share patience that you've had. And, you know, just keep going. Because even if I'm not in a part of the blockchain, I'll still support anyway and still do my research. So, and you know, it's kind of crazy. I still want to still take a risk to invest anyway, just because I still think it could come back just from hearing the community is absurd. But I know DeFi, Jay was up here, so I'll let you go.
Yeah, absolutely. No, I think I love your passion, and I appreciate the words that you're saying, because there's been a lot of emotional and building energy that's gone into this, and the Lunatics group is a very passionate one. Great to have you. Great to have you on DeFi Jedi. We spoke a few weeks ago in different circumstances late at night. So no, good to have you on.
Hey, thanks for giving me a chance to come up. And I just was listening to, I think, the last question, you know, like, could it come back? And I mean, I don't even want to weigh in on it, because I'm not a big brain. I'm a big heart and a big you know, network guy. Like, I feel like what we did, what we built as a community, and what we were building is going to continue to build. multi-chain. You know, we have a network that we all built within the Lunaterra community that is beyond strong and beyond anything of any other chain I've seen, where the cross project or the cross community work and collaborations was open, welcomed, and encouraged. The problem with if this ever were to try to relaunch or fork or whatever they're doing, first I heard there's too big of an overhead. You know, we started at 2 billion, market cap. Now, I think that Terra Luna in itself, it needs to go away. It needs to die. UST and Luna need to die. And if something were to come out of it, the chain, the dApps, everything that was being built was out of this world. And every single one that I ever talked about, I bought into everything that I saw. And there were so many things I believed in and so many builders that were, I want to say a step ahead of the game. And we saw people coming from, different blockchains coming to Luna specifically to build within the community because of the level of inclusive builders and networking that was happening. I think that above everything else, besides the money, what's more important than saving Luna or Terra is going to be saving the communities that have been built and continuing multi-chain with it. My vision, my goal and what I see in the future is, where it doesn't, I think somebody said it, I don't know if it was Digital or Jeff, one of you guys said something about like in the future where maybe even it was one of my boys from Stone Ducks who said it, like in the future, the consumer isn't going to care whether or not your NFT came from Algo or came from Ethereum or came for from sure. AVAX, right? They're going to be interested in, hey, I bought it on blockchain. And, eventually we're going to have, if not, sooner than later, a platform where I saw some of the guys from Loop building something similar with their Luna launcher, that was a multi-chain platform where people could invest with ETH or Poly or whatever, whatever chain they wanted, right? Whatever they're coming in with, they could buy into that project, using their funds. I see that as the next step and the next level. And I think that Lunaterra needs to go away, but the building and the community needs to carry on. And that's my vision. That's what I hope. And I hope.
You have to ask yourself, what is that frictionless experience going to look like? And in the end, there's still going to have to be an underlying blockchain technology to claim Correct. Ownership for whatever that product is. So for me, seeing the capacity of the blockchain like Algo, it's going to allow for that one-click Amazon smooth user experience in the end. And I think that's the greatest takeaway I think everybody should say is like, look, we're moving away from speculative ICOs, boom and bust, to real use cases and technology. And you have to kind of do your own research and see what's the landscape like. And it's hard for us to pivot as a crypto community more broadly to this mindset. But yeah, that's happening right now. And I can't talk about the business side, but I'm involved with a lot of conversations where this is happening right now. It's just we're in a bear market, but the rest of the world doesn't really care. There's the macro conditions, war, etc. But like in reality, like the real technology is going to get adopted, and you have to ask which technologies. So
agree. And that's where I think that the most important thing we can do right now is as Terra lunatics, as people that have been in this ecosystem, right, we have to open ourselves up to any of these other opportunities, and having connections, getting these conversations started with guys like yourself that have that insight and knowledge. We need to be able to converse openly with, different builders and different pieces of the community. And like you said, eventually, there has to be, an underlying, primary. And which one will it be? I don't honestly know if we're going to see the primary, if it's going to be ETH or Algo or any of them. It won't emerge for two to four years. I think we've got too much time before we see the primary actually make itself, relevant or sorry, not relevant, wrong word, prevalent? Yeah, I don't know. You know,
like, honestly, I think like if there ever is a primary, cause like we're still maybe like we are in crypto, maybe they figure out a way to like just make it fluent and completely decentralized. Like maybe different chains gonna be compatible as validators of a big layer, or maybe layer zero people will figure something out. I don't know enough about the deep tech to answer that right now correctly, but I agree. Like I think also in the end, like we have to ask ourselves if we are always, since like I don't know, since maybe 2020 we are always chasing retail.
Yeah,
why are we chasing retail? Like we have big communities that continue to grow because people will continue to be fascinated by crypto. It's like thinking of, let's say, Dungeons and Dragons people are not necessarily everyone, but you will always have people connected directly to the blockchain, while the main retail will just profit from the underlying tech, maybe never noticing it. So I could imagine that like we never will have to like make a circle. We will never have like a dominant layer one visible to retail. Maybe on the tech side there is, but
sure. You have to ask yourself the question: has there ever been a killer app for crypto? Has there been a Super Mario N64 for crypto? It's never happened, and that's because it's something. There's no crypto that you can use. Well, there is, but it's not popular that you could use day to day. Consistently, and that's kind of been the crux of this whole entire crypto thing. Like there's not been this solid foundation of technology until now. So I think that's where, again, we have to get past this phase of like speculation, move on to like real world uses, and that's just going to take a little, maybe this quarter, maybe next, but it's going to happen sooner than people expect, in my opinion.
Yeah, I think else, sorry
Simon. Oh, so give it a couple more minutes and we'll start to wrap up, but also maybe like redirect the conversation. The closing thoughts, at least, sure, towards recovering and building. I'm just conscious that we've kind of gone into a tangent, which is fine. But just for you know the next couple minutes, maybe finish off, and then we guide this into more talk. Just some closing positive thoughts around recovering and
Just from a personal perspective, just like speaking, not even as an investor, but as a human being. If you lost. Not how much money, but like if you lost for yourself, for your circumstances, if you lost a lot, it doesn't matter if it's 2K, if it's 5K, if it's 700K, or if it's 2.5 million. Like if you're feeling down, and if you like have the feeling that will have an impact on your life, always remember that you didn't need that money in real life to start with. Like it wasn't there. It wasn't in your real life, and real life went on. Appreciate the small things. Like take your time, really take your time before you make any decision right now. And I mean like personal decisions. Like don't do something rash, like cut people off, or go in an enrage mode, or become depressed. Don't try not to, because there always is going to be like a next step. There always is potential. As long as you are here, you can always change things, and it doesn't need much to be happy, to be honest.
No, I was one of my favorite Stone Ducks sayings, what my people say is, just smoke a J and relax, man. It's all good. But what I wanted to say before I wrapped up, one of the things that, just kind of to put to a spin or a perspective on what we're doing and where we are is, we've had opportunities in our lifetimes. I've been through multiple bubbles, different things, the dot-coms and that kind of stuff. And, we've seen cult-like companies built that were supposed to take over the internet, whether it was Netscape or Yahoo or something else, these were some of the brightest minds working together. And,
And you know, they're all working, you know, in their own right to make something better and more usable for the customer, for the retail customer, right? For everybody. And you know, Google may have came out on top as the primary, but there's still other pieces to that puzzle that have built and helped grow the internet, right? So I feel like if you look where we're at right now, we're just starting to figure out how to crawl these blockchains and search and do it the way that Google or Yahoo did when they were building the internet. So, you know, we're going to see blockchains come and go over the next few years until it gets figured out. And so, like, you know, my biggest takeaway from all of this, guys, is number one, you know, you're going to invest in these. We're investing in highly speculative, very, you know, volatile markets. And even if we believe at the core of who we are, that we are right, and we know that, you know, the project that we're backing, we feel it is the one that's going to succeed. You know, some of the biggest companies in the world have faltered, not because they didn't have a good product or not because of the people inside of it, but, you know, something else came along or derailed it. But every time this happens, you know, people out there are taking their lives. They're, you know, doing things that are, you know, sad, right? And if you know, we can reach out and touch one person and say, hey, we're all here. We're all going to continue to build and continue to work and continue to share and network. That's great. But also, you know, just like, you know, Simon and the main point of this space was to help rebuild and be, you know, constructive is, you know, if you see any one person that may be hurting, you know, don't be afraid to send that DM. Don't be afraid to reach out. Like, it may seem, you know, kind of, I want to say, like, you know, pointless to somebody when you're doing it. You might not think it's going to make an impact, but the right word at the right time may just save somebody's life. It may save somebody's future. It may save somebody's, you know, relationship or more. So with everything we're doing, let's, you know, focus on what the lunatics were, and that was welcoming and loving and giving, you know, and carry that forward. And whether we fail again, we pick up, we continue down that road, we've got a fucking amazing community that we're going to do great things with, whether it's on Algo or you know, any other chain. There's all these people that we have built together and networked with that are here to support you. So, you know, send a DM if you need help, send a DM. My DMs are open to anybody, anytime. I can't say how much I've appreciated some of the conversations I've had with some of the lunatics over the last few weeks. They've been amazing in helping me see, you know, the good in people and the good in the community that we built. So thanks, you guys. I appreciate all of you. Peace.
And probably Lunar Launcher, we're looking at a rebrand for sure. I think that would be an important piece. Let me send you one multi chain. I was thinking like Interstellar Pad if we weren't gonna get smash of copyright, but
I like that name a lot, Interstellar Pad. But just like with DeFi Jedi, by the way, I love your name. First of all. But you know, mental health is very, very important. At the end of the day, we're all human beings, and like, this has shattered a lot of people. But like what DeFi has said, just keep on going. Don't make no irrational decisions, and keep pushing through the dark, because the light is the brightest in that current situation. And so you got to make sure that, you know, like you said, DM's open, mount is open, and just say what you got to say, and don't hold it in, don't pent it in, because one closed door could open 1,000 more.
Yeah. Good word.
Absolutely. And I echo every sentiment. I think one of the things that really has heartened me is in the midst of all of this collapse, and this is talked about quite a bit on this space, that there's been so much support, you know, across the many Discords, Telegram groups, DMs on here, and that sense of community. I've done a lot of reaching out to make sure people are okay, and lots of people have done the same with me. And yeah, it's the caring human side that isn't always perhaps considered in life, and I think it's so important that we don't lose track of that. I think as well, looking forwards, we're all moving on, and it sounds dramatic, but I think it's a bit like the grief cycle. There's an element of that. So essentially, we're working through our own kind of understanding of, you know, what was a certainty.
It is about the people, not about the island they visit.
Yeah, exactly. What was a certainty sort of 9 or 10 days ago is no longer there. You know, it's underwater. It's massively changed. And even if the tide goes out, it will still be, you know, it won't be the same place again. The island that we step onto will not be the same. But the important thing as well, and I think this is really powerful, over the last few days, I've been blown away by the conversations I've had with people outside of the Terra community who really are, you know, tremendously embracing. And actually, it's a bit like finding, you know, you're in a small town and you go and visit someone in another part of the world and you discover lots of shared values in other communities. And I think ultimately, it's my ultimate aim is to see a multi-chain mass adoption world for sort of Web3 capabilities and the underpinning blockchain technologies. And I am certain that in order for that to happen, many people who interact will not realize they're even dealing with a crypto back end. I've talked about this extensively on previous spaces, but bringing it back to the human side, we're all building to create something bigger. And we almost need to remember that we're also building a human community, and every single one of us should look out for others and make sure we're all okay. Because that, for me, is the fundamental cornerstone of the type of community that I want to see. We've seen some interesting comments on social. It has affected people. So some of the blasé remarks and less than thoughtful comments that certain parts of society make, and take gloat and pleasure in other people's pain. And those sorts of people are people to be pitied, and to move on and think of the positives. That's what I tell everyone who's contacted me who's concerned about those individuals. I don't give them any thought. That's the best way to deal with those individuals, because don't give them the oxygen. Perhaps that's one of the lessons I learned from my days at school, going back to the earlier bit of therapy there. Ignore the people that would do you harm or diminish who you are as a community and as a people, and embrace those that would expand and look outward and make things better, more whole. So there we go. Another philosophical ramble. Really keen. I know Simon dropped out. Keen for Simon to have the last word. And then we'll look to wrap up because I have to be up at ridiculously early o'clock to drive across the country. You're sounding very sort of 1980s techno music, sort of singing frontage. We had this the other day, actually.
Can you hear me now?
Thank you all. Appreciate the time.
That's much better.
Yeah, so I said it's always soothing listening to the sound of your voice. And I want to say, guys, more than ever, even though we've been through a lot, Terra community, crypto in general, I'm actually more excited than ever to keep building. I see more and more the opportunities to reposition, especially during the bear market, or wherever we end up going, and to reposition for the next narratives and the next kind of wave of crypto. And I'm just looking forward to building some really, really good things. So I'm more excited than ever. I know it's been a rough ride, but we'll get there. Again, so thanks for jumping in, guys. I appreciate you, and I'll see you guys on next week's space.
Thanks, everyone. Have a good rest of your day, evening, morning. Take care, and look forward to meeting you all on spaces again soon.
Bye-bye.
Thanks for checking out another episode of The Ether. That was Building and Recovering from Loss, an open discussion hosted by SuperTerra, recorded on Monday, May 16th, 2022. For TerraSpaces.org, I'm Finn. Thanks for listening. Whoa.
before we blow through the dust. Volcanoes erupt. No one ever guessed that the game would be tough. Keep your hands off when the play is a bust. Plain old and just, so we keep it on the one. Blast off on the two. Help me see the three. Third eye open wide, checking out the scene. Laser beam focus, star scream jokers. Living off the fat of the people they approach. Tell me what happens when the land fights back. With the cliffs at our backs, make the last stand matter. No one ever planned for the famine on deck. We was walking all a wreck with a dead man's swagger. Sitting in a little den, envisioning the middlemen. Listen to the fiddle man play a little ditty, then talk about how all the leaders seem reptilian. Lost in the maze, trying to make the next billion. Talk about how all the leaders seem reptilian. Lost in the maze, trying to make the next billion. In a little den, envisioning the middlemen. Listen to the fiddle man play a little ditty, then talk about how all the leaders seem reptilian. Lost in the maze, trying to make the next no one gave a shit till the drugs all dried up. Everybody died from a bad batch of Lysol, but it didn't matter. We was all hyped up when the pedal lit the metal. He just didn't have the right skill. Watched in the daytime till the night curfew. Rats in a cage till they make time to murk you. Got a little job that falls under my purview. We gotta get this mob away from the bird's view. Gotta find cover, wipe off the bird poop. Write off the work while you try on the worst juice. Blinded by perps who try to reverse truth. Slide like Fox News just trying to lie to you. Eating up the slop like a bunch of hungry vagrants. I can't wait for the day they lock us up in stasis. Mock up a basement, could call me resilient. Waiting for the internet to make me a billion. Den envision in the middlemen. Listen to the fiddle man play a little ditty, then talk about how all the leaders seem reptilian. Lost in the maze, trying to make the next billion. Talk about how all the leaders seem reptilian. Lost in the maze, trying to make the next billion.
Terror spaces.